There's a song that we sometimes sing in churches, and it asks the question, what will you do with Jesus, my friend? That is a piercing, and it is a pertinent question. What kind of choice will you make? What kind of decision are you making now? Sometimes people think that if they don't really know anything about the Bible, and if they don't really know anything about Jesus, then that relieves them of their responsibility to choose. That they can just say, well, I really don't know about Jesus. I don't even know if Jesus existed. And so therefore, I'm going to remain neutral in this situation. What we want to do beginning today is to look at Jesus. And we're going to begin to look at the proof that Jesus lived and that he is who the Bible says that he is, the only begotten Son of God. And what we find, folks, is this. Even if a person says, well, I just don't know about the Bible, and I really don't know about the evidence for Jesus' existence in the Bible, even if a man says that, history itself shows us that a man named Jesus of Nazareth actually lived, and he died just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the whole New Testament tells us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 1, that the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 24, the Bible says, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. So he had Jesus executed. He had Jesus crucified. The Bible says this, and history backs up what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to be reading from some sources that are very old today. I want to ask you to listen very carefully to what these sources say about Jesus of Nazareth. And I also want to point out to you, and I will remind you of this as we go through these statements, that in each one of these cases, the men that I'm going to be reading from were not Christians. But at the same time, even though they were not Christians, they did admit that Jesus actually lived. So let's begin. We're going to start with a man named Josephus. Now, Josephus lived from 37 AD to 100 AD. So he lived in the first century. He lived when the church was just getting started. He lived in the time of the apostles. So let's read what Josephus says in his book called The Antiquities of the Jews. Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day. Now notice what this man says about Jesus Christ. Josephus was a Jew. As far as we know, he never became a Christian. Josephus, at the same time, did admit that this man, Jesus, lived. Now, if you ask the question, well, why would he say what he said about Jesus? Why would he admit that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus fulfilled all these Old Testament prophecies? If he's a Jew and he says those things, then why wouldn't he become a Christian? Well, folks, there are times when we see people today who will admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They admit that they believe that he is the only begotten Son of God, that he is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, and yet they refuse to become Christians. So for whatever reason that Josephus had, we still find that he gives evidence in the first century as an unbeliever that Jesus Christ actually lived. And I want you to notice that he confirms exactly what we read in the Bible, that Jesus was condemned under the reign of Pontius Pilate. Now let's go to a second source. The man that we're talking about now was named Publius Cornelius Tacitus. Now he lived from 55 to 120 AD. He wrote a book called The Annals of Imperial Rome. Now in that book, he describes the lives of some of the emperors of Rome. And the section that I'm going to be reading from is a section about Nero. And he talks about the suspicion that some of the Romans had that the emperor Nero himself had actually started the fire that consumed much of that city of Rome. So let's read. Now, again, this man was not a Christian. And as you're going to see here, he was not only not a Christian, he was opposed to Christianity. He thought that Christianity was just some kind of silly superstition. But at the same time, he confirms, he shows us that what we read in the New Testament about Jesus being condemned by Pontius Pilate was actually true. In this section, he says this, "But neither human resources, nor imperial munificence, nor appeasements of the gods eliminated sinister suspicions that the fire had been instigated. To suppress this rumor, Nero fabricated scapegoats and punished with every refinement the notoriously depraved Christians, as they were popularly called. Their originator, Christ, had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. But in spite of this temporary setback, the deadly superstition had broken out afresh not only in Judea, where the mischief had started, but even in Rome. All degraded and shameful practices collect and flourish in the capital. First, Nero had self-acknowledged Christians arrested. Then, on this information, large numbers of others were condemned, not so much for incendiarism as for their antisocial tendencies. Their deaths were made farcical. Dressed in wild animal skins, they were torn to pieces by dogs, or crucified, or made into torches to be ignited after dark as substitutes for daylight." Now, obviously, again, we're looking at a man who had absolutely no respect for Christianity. He had absolutely no use for the Bible. And in this section, he talks about his disgust for these people who were called Christians. So we would call this man an antagonistic witness to Jesus of Nazareth, because he is a man who is not writing these things to try to confirm for Christians of later generations that there actually was a Jesus of Nazareth. He is trying to put down what he thinks is just a superstition. He thinks that Christianity is a cult. He's trying to get rid of it as best he can by writing against it. And in so doing, he actually attests to the fact that Jesus lived. Notice what he says. He talks about these Christians, and he confirms the fact that Jesus was executed by Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, and he also tells us that he was executed in Tiberius' reign. Now, this man is a Roman historian. He is not a Christian and has no use for Christians, and yet he tells us exactly what we read in the New Testament. Here's a third witness. This man is oftentimes called Pliny the Younger. Now, he was the governor of Bithynia at this time. And in a letter that he wrote to Trajan the emperor around 110 or 111 AD, he says these following things. "It is my custom, my lord, to refer to thee all questions concerning which I am in doubt. I have never been present at judicial examinations of the Christians. Therefore, I am ignorant how and to what extent it is customary to punish or to search for them. And I have hesitated greatly as to whether any distinction should be made on the ground of age, or whether the weak should be treated in the same way as the strong, whether pardon should be granted to the penitent, or he who ever has been a Christian gain nothing by renouncing it, whether the mere name, if unaccompanied with crimes or crimes associated with the names, should be punished. Meanwhile, with those who have been brought before me as Christians, I have pursued the following course. I have asked them if they were Christians. And if they have confessed, I have asked them a second and a third time, threatening them with punishment. If they have persisted, I have commanded them to be led away to punishment. For I did not doubt that whatever that might be which they confessed, at any rate, their obstinacy ought to be punished. And then he makes this very interesting statement. He talks about some who had in the past said that they were Christians, but had renounced it. And he said, one of the marks, one of the signs that you can tell if a person has renounced Christ is that he adores images and statues of the gods and has cursed Christ. Now, notice what's going on here. This is a man living in about 110 or 111 AD. He's writing to the emperor. He has a problem on his hands as an official of the Roman government. He says, I don't know exactly what to do with these Christians. You see, the Roman government had been persecuting these Christians for some time. And so he says, I have some questions about that. And he said, here's the way that I usually conduct this, and I want you to tell me what you think about that as the emperor. In the process of that, he talks about these Christians, and he talks about the fact that if they cursed Christ, then he would let them go. Now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ never existed, then why on earth is this Roman official talking to the emperor about what to do with these Christians who are followers of Jesus Christ? If this Jesus of Nazareth was not a threat, if he never even existed, then why does this man want to know what to do with these people? And why does he talk about the real test of these people being whether they will curse Christ? Well, what we find again here, folks, is that these unbelievers, and obviously this man is an enemy of Jesus Christ and the church, but even these unbelievers admitted that Jesus Christ actually lived just as we read in the Bible. And so in answer to the question, who is Jesus and who was Jesus of Nazareth? We've given the answer today. Jesus is a man of history.